I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mac Jones is still getting pushback from this tackle on Carolina's Brian Burns. It would appear this feud, gentlemen, is far from over. Wiggins and the Warriors were dunking to a 10-1 record last night. Should Golden State be the favorites now to win it all? And boom, we got Coach Mangini joining us later to break down his game plan for the Raiders to upset the Chiefs. The Chiefs, Nick, the Chiefs. And with that, we say good Thursday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Kevin Wilds, and filling in for Chris Broussard. We got Mark Schlereth with us this morning. Thank you, Mark, for joining us. And we want to say on behalf of everyone here in First Things First, we want to start off this Veterans Day show by thanking all of the brave men and women who have served our country, both past and present. That most importantly, of course. We have a great show for you this morning. We have so much to get to. We're going to start with the most anticipated free agent signing in the NFL, none other than OBJ. Here we go. As of this morning, Odell Beckham Jr. still a man without a team, but plenty of teams are calling. The latest reports say, here we go, the Kansas City Chiefs are the perceived favorite to land OBJ, while the Patriots are also making a strong push, with Belichick reportedly wanting Beckham on the roster, quote, badly, Wilds, badly. You know what happens when Billy wants something badly. But, Nick, this seems like a biased take incoming. What is the better landing spot for Odell, Chiefs or Patriots?
There's no biased take, Jenna. The only hint of bias that's happened thus far in this show was calling what Mac Jones did a tackle. You can only tackle the person with the football, for the record. Brian Burns, he can't be tackled, but we will get to that in about 18 minutes from now. I am always dripping in objectivity, Ms. Wolf, and I'm here to tell
always.
You, obviously,
always,
the Chiefs, obviously, the Chiefs are the best option. Because, so Odell can go somewhere where the coach is awesome, quarterback's awesome, he'll get credit if and when they turn this thing around, because the offense has struggled the last few weeks. You know that's something that matters to him. He'll never get double teamed, ever. As long as Tyreek Hill's there, Travis Kelce's there, he'll never get double teamed. He'll have a chance to win playoff games and win championships. And oh yeah, by the way, they have a desperate need at the exact position he would be playing. It wouldn't be temporary. So why would he not pick the Chiefs? And I will add this, Stink. I think it's really bad for Odell's chances to land with the Patriots that there are all these Patriot reports coming out, because they ain't leaking out of New England. And if I know anything about how Bill Belichick and the Pats run things, they don't love when their plans get leaked, because they're not the ones doing the leaking. So whoever said Bill Belichick desperately wants Odell Beckham Jr., one would think that would make Bill Belichick, the fact that it's out there, if it was true, want him less. But if it's between these two teams, what is the argument to not pick Kansas City?
Well, I mean, I think there's several arguments not to pick Kansas City. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are bereft of weapons. You know, like another mouth to feed in Kansas City when you have an offense that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to do anything but throw the ball down the football field. You've made mistakes. Kansas City problem isn't talent or depth of talent on the offensive side. And, you know, I The one thing that I'll give you credit for is I do think Odell Beckham Jr. is a better fit from the standpoint of he's got a dominant figure within that franchise, that dominant figure being Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's going to trump the authority of Patrick Mahomes on that offense. So he's going to have to fall into line to some degree there. But I think when you look at the Patriots' desperate need from a talent upgrade with Aguilar, with Jacoby Myers, with Kendrick Bourne, you know, he comes right in and becomes receiver number one. He becomes the X on the single receiver side. He becomes the go-to guy within that offense. And I will tell you this, that the Bill Belichick era and the Patriots have had a history of taking guys that were perceived as malcontents elsewhere, bringing them into the fold and having a ton, just an absolute ton of success with those guys and winning championships with those guys. So I would argue, I would say that I think that the Patriots are probably a better fit for Odell Beckham than are the Kansas City Chiefs.
Thank you. Thank you, Stink. I didn't know if there was something wrong in my earpiece. I don't know if that was a take or just beautiful music being pumped into my brain, but it was wonderful either way. So here's the thing. There's two narratives out there, two images of the Chiefs and the Patriots that are vastly different, right? So the Chiefs are this fun-loving team. Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball all over the place. Andy Reid's wearing Hawaiian shirts. It's a fun place to be. And then you go up to cold, cold New England, and Belichick is wearing a hooded sweatshirt, and it's all about winning, and it's not fun. And we don't have Patrick Mahomes, a young goat. We just have the future little goat, Goat Jr., Mac Jones. But here's the thing. These teams are very, very similar. That if you can't help them win, they're not going to use you. So the Patriots make that very clear. We're about winning. The Chiefs don't. Chiefs celebrate every free agency signing, and then guess what happens? Nothing. Remember Josh Gordon? Josh Gordon could pick where he wanted to go. Oh, you know where I'll go? The Chiefs. Anyone heard from Josh Gordon? I haven't. He's been on the roster since week five. He has one catch. Oh, well, maybe he's not out there. No. He played 32 snaps against the Giants. Nothing happened. Oh, maybe that's just Josh Gordon. Maybe he's getting his sea legs under him. All right, how about Le'Veon Bell? Remember Le'Veon Bell? Oh, the rich get richer. Le'Veon Bell tweeted this. Ah, Kansas City, thank you for the opportunity. Let's go. What happened there? Played 9 games. Had 350 total yards from scrimmage. Then we get this. Le'Veon Bell on Chiefston. I'll never play for Andy Reid again. I'd retire first. So look, everyone thinks that Bill Belichick is this curmudgeon and that Kansas City is this wonderful place for offensive players to go. Maybe it's not. It didn't work for Le'Veon Bell. It's not working for Josh Gordon. And Nick, it's no guarantee it's going to work for Odell.
Okay, so I just have a few direct questions for Kevin Wilds. Did sure. Josh Gordon thrive fruitfully when he was in New England? Did I miss that? Did I miss the great Josh Gordon?
No, he would have.
Tell me. Oh, he would have. He would have. Oh, okay. All right, got it.
Yes. We know Josh Gordon has some issues, but the Patriots support him as best as they could. But when he was on the field, he was a nice
weapon. And when he was there,
act like, yeah, you're going to get 50 targets a game.
When he was there, he was younger and more able to help a team, and it still was mediocre production. That's the first point. Second point is, are you actually making the case that the entire football world has just had the wool pulled over their eyes, that playing in New England is just a barrel of laughs all the time, that we've just been wrong for 20 years? Like, that, I'm just curious. I'm asking. Tell me.
Sure. If Odell Beckham wants to go have fun and have a barrel of laughs, there's a comedy club about 30 miles west of Foxborough he can go to. If he wants to win games and be coached by the greatest coach in the history of sports, then go the other way and show up at Foxborough. But we're not here for laughter. We're not here for fun. We're not here for Hawaiian shirts.
Okay.
We're here to win football
games. Well, that's fine. But
if you want to come in and win, come to Foxborough.
That's fine. But then,
if you don't, go somewhere else.
That's good. I would then recommend that the Patriots prove they actually can win football games post-Tom Brady. Because post-Tom Brady, they're a losing franchise that struggles on the offensive side of the ball. They just are. They're 5-4 this year. Please? The last year counts as well. And so here would be, I guess, my question to Stink on this, which is that's fine. Maybe Odell does look at Mac Jones as the baby goat, or how Wilds put him. But hasn't Odell had the experience of being the number one option on a run-centric team with a limited quarterback. Did he seem to enjoy that experience? He just forced his way out of that exact experience. Why would he sign up for that again, Sting?
Well, I mean, again, you know, here's the problem that I guess we're skirting. And, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., for me, you've also got to assess your value to your football team. And I don't know about you guys, but Odell hasn't been productive in a couple of years. And you can point the finger to, you know, quarterbacking. You can point the finger to situations. You can put, you know, like, the bottom line is he needs to start pulling the thumb and look at himself. And do you want to win football games or do you want to be a superstar? And that's the question I would have. I mean, I would have a real problem signing him in the first place. And, you know, you talk about wide receiver position, and somehow we've made the wide receiver position the end-all, be-all. You are the, in my mind, you are, you know, the most dependent player in a dependent game, right? We're all dependent players, but you're the most. 10 other guys have to do their job exceptionally well for you to even get a sniff of the football, for you to make an impact in the game. So quit overvaluing yourself and understand that it is a team game. And, you know, I mean, you're going to force your way out of there. What happens when you're not happy in Kansas City? What happens when you're not happy, you know, in New England? The bottom line is I wouldn't touch Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think he's worth going after, personally, because I just think he's a problem. And, you know, I don't think he plays team football. So me personally, I wouldn't want him on my football team. That's where I stand. And until he proves otherwise, until he proves he can be a team player, then that's a different story. Now, I know everybody loves talent, but for Odell Beckham Jr., I ask you guys this, have the problems or the headaches outweighed the production? Because when the problems or headaches outweigh production, guess what? You don't get any more opportunities. And that's a question you have to ask yourself.
Which is why this next stop for Odell has to work. Because he is going to be out of chances, because it has been a few years since he was a dominant receiver. Now, his first year in Cleveland, he was a good receiver. I mean, he had 1,000 yards on a team that was terribly coached and had some real issues. But he wasn't a headache then. He wasn't a problem. And he actually has been pretty quiet in Cleveland until the last 10 days when he, you know, set the dynamite, or had his dad set it and blew the whole thing up. But he's definitely, you know, running out if it has not ran out of chances. But I think the case Stink just made at the beginning there, Jenna, is the case to go to Kansas City or Green Bay or Seattle, which is the case of, I am about winning. I am about being part of a team. I am not prioritizing, will I get the most targets? If it's about being the number one option and get the most targets, go to New Orleans or go to New England, because you are unquestionably the number one receiver there. The problem is neither of those teams currently employs an above average quarterback. I don't think that should be his priority. Number of targets and yards. I think the priority should be, can I be a part of an awesome offense? Three teams give him that opportunity immediately. Green Bay, Seattle, and what happens to be the two-time defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs, Jim.
But if it is about the structure of a head coach, to Wild's point, in a winning organization, when was the last time Odell thrived? When he played for Tom Coughlin, who is a lot closer to Bill Belichick than obviously Andy Reid is. So we will see what happens with Odell. Let's stick with the Patriots, though, because their quarterback's still in the news. Mac Jones still getting some pushback for his tackle last week. Will he feel the wrath of Myles Garrett this week? That is next. First things first.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Here with Stink, Mark Schlereth joining us to play a little drawing a blank on a Thursday morning. Mac Jones still feeling some heat for what some are calling a dirty hit on Panthers defensive end Brian Burns in last Sunday's win over the Panthers. The latest to speak out about it is, well, Brian Burns himself. Take a listen.
It would be nice to have an apology, Mac. It would be nice to have an apology, but I mean, it's not going to happen. And, I mean, however the NFL handles it, it's on them. I would just like to play them again. And I wish all my fellow DN brothers happy hunting.
Matt, Brian Burns said today that an apology from you would be nice. Have you thought about reaching out to him to apologize? Would you like to apologize?
Yeah, I already addressed that situation, and I'm just looking forward to playing in this game with the guys we have on our team this week. So we're already kind of moving forward and ready to play this week.
Oh, somebody's already learned a lot from Bill Belichick. Hey, Stink, Brian Burns' comments on Mac Jones are blank.
Irrelevant. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You ever see in the two-minute drill when you make a tackle and the guys lay on the offensive players so they can't get up and get back to the huddle? I mean, I don't understand what all the fuss is about. So he kept Brian Burns from going and trying to recover a fumble. That's what you're supposed to do. That's called football.
Oh my.
And by the way, you think Myles Garrett needs inspiration from Brian Burns to rush the passer or to hit Mac Jones? No. I mean, when the ball is kicked off, the whistle blows, the ball's kicked off, and the football games happen, do you think Myles Garrett is thinking about Brian Burns for 1 second? It'll never cross his mind. So move on, Brian Burns. You know what? It's called football. Get used to it.
Stink. Hold on. Keep Stink on the screen if we can, please.
Yeah.
Stink, as you watch this, I'm just curious. You keep saying it's called football, which I find interesting. Because to me, this is far closer to Taekwondo. You have the nice leg sweep. I feel like you have an ankle lock and a twist. Not a lot of that to me is football. And you said something interesting, which is he's trying to get Brian Burns from getting the football, which is in direct conflict with Mac Jones' ludicrous claim, which is, I thought Brian Burns, whose hands were askew like a flying eagle, that I thought Brian Burns had the football. So my answer here, Stink, is Brian Burns' comments on Mac Jones are better than Mac's, because Mac doesn't get to say we're moving on when the last time you talked about this, you obviously lied. Like, you can't lie, have your initial answer be a lie, and then when people follow up with you, be like, no, I already addressed it. Remember when I lied to you guys and said I thought he had the ball, even though everyone's running the other way and his hands are out? So, like, Stink, Come on, this is a dirty play. Of course Brian Burns is upset. Did you not think what Mac Jones did at the end of this is a dirty play?
No, I don't think it's dirty. I think it's, listen, the ball is on the ground. He knows the ball's not in his hand. Now, I will tell you this. When you're on the ground, sometimes you can't. I mean, sometimes you got a helmet on, you're on the ground, there's bodies out there. You're not necessarily totally aware, but I know this. Ball's on the ground, ball is out, and you're scrambling, trying to do whatever you can to help your football team. And I will tell you, I'm not a malicious guy. I don't have a dirty bone in my body. I tell you, I've missed a block before, and I cut a guy in half on the back of his legs. I got fined. You know what? Bottom line is, when things happen on a football field, you'll do things that are out of character for you. I don't think he owes anybody an apology. That's called trying to make sure your team ends up with a football that you just dropped. I think it's much ado about nothing. They'll move on, and they'll see each other 4 years from now, maybe. Who cares?
I told you. Right. This is one of those stories, Jenna, that is like people, NFL, ex-NFL players, Bucky said the same thing. Randy Moss said a similar thing. Stink said it. I think media people are like, and all players are like, nah, that's the way it goes. My answer, however, is double billboard. So we used to. This is our Patriots offensive line bulletin board of inspiration here, Stink. So if we look over here, where are we here? This is the this is Myles Garrett, who literally buried Mac Jones in his front yard. So that was on the bulletin board for the Patriots offensive line. Then we got Brian Burns here saying happy hunting. So it's a double whammy left over from Halloween. Stink, does this... I know you said Myles Garrett's not going to be thinking about it. Will the Patriots offensive line be thinking about it? Like, all right, Myles Garrett buried Mac Jones. Brian Burns is saying happy hunting. We've got to do a little bit of extra to protect this guy. Or is it a source of pride if they keep Mac Jones' jersey clean this game?
Well, of course, it's a sense of pride. But the bottom line is you don't need bulletin board material when you're facing Myles Garrett. All you have to do is put on the film. Look at him with short sleeves on. I mean, that guy is frightening. He's absolutely frightening. And there's no more paranoid group than offensive linemen. We're all paranoid because nothing good can happen to us. You can play the great game. You can play the perfect game. You can rush the football. You can keep the jersey of your quarterback clean. And you're nothing more than a throwaway tagline. Hey, the big guys up front did great. Now let's talk about me and all my completions and all my rushing yards and everything else. Right? I mean, that's all you are. You give up a couple holding calls and you
suck.
We're
giving you love,
and the other guy goes to the Pro Bowl. No. Yeah, so... You don't need any motivation. Like you don't need any bulletin board material. You're already puckered up. Trust me.
Stink's take on the tortured life of offensive linemen gets me every time. He's like, every snap of the game, you're the inferior athlete. If you get beat one time, you had a terrible game. They're all accurate takes, which is why I'm so baffled by such a bad take on this. And Kevin Wilds, I will not allow you to muddy the waters and be like, yeah, all the pro athletes say this is no big deal. How did this initially get talked about? Brian Burns' teammate, who I think is a pro athlete, I'll have to check, but he did play in the game, brought it up. And Brian Burns, who I do think, maybe I'll check, is also a pro athlete, seems bothered by this. So it's not just media people bothered by it. People who are not bothered by it, here's the list. Stink, who is on the record, any means necessary on a football field. I'm a 5'11 guy from Alaska. How the hell do you think I got this career? That is him, Randy Moss, who played for the Patriots, and you, who are just a Patriot fan. So I'm not going to allow you to be like, oh, just willy-nilly media Nick Wright thinks this is a big deal. Other people think it's a big deal, too. Doofus. Fired up. It's too early for this thing. It's too early.
The nerds, they're... Nick Wright nerds, but us football players, not a big deal. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, Wilds. Hey, Wilds, I really enjoyed your career. I did it.
By the way, Myles Garrett's going to feast. 12 sacks already for him. All right, let's switch gears, talk some hoops.
Right,
the Warriors are a sneaky 10-1 this season. Should they be the favorites to win the title? That is next. First things first. Now, our favorite NBA champion, Antoine Walker. Tuan, let's talk about my title favorites, the Golden State Warriors, the team I picked before the season started.
Yeah.
Yes!
side did. They took down the T-Wolves last night behind 35 from Andrew Wiggins, a modest 25 from Steph Curry. Warriors now 10-1 on the season, riding a six-game win streak. And a recent report has Klay Thompson returning to the court by Christmas. Everything coming up roses for the Dubs. Antoine, should the Warriors be the favorites right now?
Actually, they should be the favorites out west right now. They're the one team that's gelled coming out the gate. They've taken advantage of a friendly schedule, a home schedule, where they've been able to get out to such a great start at 10-1. But you also got to give credit to Steve Kerr and the Warriors staff and player development for this great start. We know the superstars. We know Klay's going to come back hopefully great. We know what Draymond's going to bring in Steph. But the development of Jordan Poole, the continuous of Andrew Wiggins finding his way and now playing at the level that we thought he could play at with this group is terrific. And then you got to also think about the Damon Lees and then the veteran pickups and Andre Iguodala and Otto Porter Jr.
Yep.
And then Gary Payton II has been terrific for this group coming off the bench defensively, add some excitement, allowing Steph to rest a little longer. And the defense has been great, something that's very surprising. They've been defending at a very, very high level. So this team is very surprising. They're going to only get better when these two guys come back, when Klay and Wiseman come back. So I'm very surprised. They are the favorites right now. And this team reminds me, if you really look at this, and I don't want to really compare it, but it reminds me the way they shoot the basketball and pass it of the great teams that they had when they won those three championships. They're averaging 15, 16 threes a game as a team. They also averaging close to 30 assists as a team. So everything is falling in place for them, but you've got to get Steve Kerr and the coaching staff and player development. The Golden State Warriors a lot of credit so far because they didn't make a huge move. They didn't make any trades. They didn't trade their draft picks. They just forced guys to get better over the summer.
Antoine, I'm shocked by this, not just the record, because you mentioned the schedule. They played Houston. They played a couple against OKC. They played Sacramento. They have some softer part of their schedule early. But the eye test, the metrics, all of it says this team is very for real. And Antoine, the discussion last year surrounding this team, let's remember, it was like, man, Steph Curry is playing like an MVP. Maybe he should be the MVP. And they might not make the playoffs, right? In fact, they didn't make the playoffs. They lost both their play-in games. They were on the outside looking in. The discussion surrounding this team last season was, should Steph consider going elsewhere if he wants to compete for championships? That wasn't some like hot take discussion. That was a real discussion that was had. And now, and thus far through, you know, an eighth of the season, they look like the best team in basketball. And here is what, to me, is so promising for Golden State, Antoine. It's not just that they have Klay coming back. They have a move to make if they want to make it. Kuminga and Moody, their two lottery picks for this year, from this year, are doing nothing for them. And that's not a shot on them. They're 18 and 19 years old on a good team. They're not supposed to be doing anything. But those are valuable assets. Wiseman hadn't played. He's doing nothing for them thus far this year. That's a top three pick. Valuable asset. If they want to really supercharge this thing, Antoine, at the deadline and pick up another piece, this team could be even better, in addition to the fact that they will get the biggest infusion of talent that any team will get during the year once Klay Thompson gets back, even if Klay is only 75% of what he once was. So I'm incredibly impressed by Jordan Poole. While I miss Broussard and I'm glad he'll be back next week, I'm not so upset he's not here today because the Andrew Wiggins I'd have to deal with. But I'm impressed by what Andrew Wiggins has done, Antoine. And, I'm always impressed by Steph. So considering, Antoine, where they were kind of narratively a few months ago, I'm shocked by this.
Yeah, it's surprising. I'll be the first to admit that. I thought if Golden State probably came in, it was like, let's try to see if we can hold the fort down until Klay and Wiseman came back. But they're really, really good. And I can't get over how I always talk about teams, and we always talk about teams have to make these moves and have to bring in these different players. But the commitment to when Jordan Poole getting better over the summer, Lee, then Gary Payton second, obviously finding him and developing him. We know he spent a bunch of time in the G League. You got to give Golden State a lot of credit. You got to give their player personnel and Steve Kerr a lot of credit and his coaching staff, because they developed this team into a really, really good team. And what they're doing defensively is even more impressive.
So, Antoine, I want to dig in on Payton and Poole and then show you a highlight that I think is more than a highlight and get your reaction on it, because you mentioned the value of having Andre Iguodala there. So first, Payton and Poole. So Gary Payton the second, we know, as you mentioned, was in the G League. He's not just playing okay, he's not playing good, he's not playing great. He has the best plus minus of any player in the league the month of November. Jordan Poole, as you mentioned, Antoine, he's developed. He went from less than 9 points a game to 12 points a game to almost 18 points a game. And here's the highlight I want to show you. This seems basic. It's a little Gary Payton II screen to Andre Iguodala to an alley-oop. What I liked about this is not only is this sort of like a fun highlight that I think would sort of go in your top 10 reels, to me, this shows like beautiful teamwork and trust and a continuity and chemistry that we expected from the old Warriors championship teams. And I think the fact that Steph and Andre Iguodala are there helps. He starts cutting to the rim before Andre even has the ball. So can you just tell me on, like, when you watch a game through your sort of veteran eyes, are there things that jump out about the Warriors' style of play that makes you think, oh, this team is really humming, has a lot of chemistry?
Yeah, a couple of things. Obviously, their ability to pass the basketball. When you think of 30 assists a game from a team, they got four or five guys that's averaged double figures, as well as another three, four guys that's averaging 7-8 points. I think that's impressive. That shows team continuity. That shows a group that's together, that's willing to share the basketball. But this infusion of youth that they've got has really covered up, Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala's probably ability to score the basketball. They got the other guys now just stepping right in and doing that. So you're allowing Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, Otto Porter Jr., these guys to be veterans and not rely on them to have to give you 30 great minutes. They can play good for 15, 20 minutes now because your young guys are now developing into really good players. So they're a surprise. And I'll be shocked if they're not making a deep run when they get healthy. They're going to make a really deep run in the Western Conference.
Wilds, that's a great job by Wilds and our production staff keying on that play. Can we show it again? Because it does demonstrate all the things that right now are making the Warriors special. The first thing is the gravity of Steph. And that has always been the key to this special Warriors run, is that he draws his man away from the basket, even though he's not even in a shooting posture. And then the other defender thinks a pick and roll's coming. He's got to be up over the top of it because you're so afraid of Steph. So now you instantly have a pseudo 4-on-3 if you want it. Then Iguodala, who's back. Listen, Iggy is limited in a lot of ways, but he'll never be a limited passer. He'll never be limited IQ-wise. So you have Steph draw, the gravity of the defense. You have Iggy, who's always going to make the smart play. And then to Antoine's point, unlike necessarily the last couple of years, you got a young guy with springy legs who's like, I can finish that. And so I know people have thought of me as, a Warriors critic over the years. We're honest about what we see. This team and their best aspect right now is their defense. Now, Draymond got hurt last night. It's a thigh contusion. He'll miss some time. And my guess is you almost have to bake in some Iguodala missed time. So some of this stuff will regress. But with Klay coming back and with Jenna, their ability, if they want to package those lottery picks in the last few years for a really good addition, this team's got to be one of the scariest teams, probably the scariest team through an eighth of the season.
Agreed. It's this plus whatever you're going to get when Klay comes back. Again, 25 out of Steph last night, which was actually an off night for him. Not enough to make Knicks medals. James Harden messed around, dropped 17, 11, and 11, a triple-double last night. In the Nets win over the Magic. He also just coming up short of the podium. All right, Nick. Which three did it better than both Steph and the Beard?
Well, we will start with a bronze medal for a man who has a gold medal, Kelly Oubre. He had 37-5 last night, former Warrior. You might say, what does he have a gold medal for? He has the gold medal for most nondescript player ever who has a signature commercial. Tsunami Poppy and Carfax? How did Kelly Oubre get in there? Silver medal. We give it to Kevin Durant. KD had 30 points. You might say, okay, he had 30 points against the Magic. Who cares? He took 12 shots. Guy took 12 shots, hit 30 points. A nice, tidy 11 of 12 from the field. While every other top scorer in the league is like, the rules, the rules, the rules. Kevin Durant's like, how about I just get better? More on him later. And the gold medal in a loss. The rare gold medal in a loss. But not yes. only is he the NBA's best post-game interview, he is a future superstar. Number one overall pick from 2 years ago, Anthony Edwards. 48 points. This game was way out of hand. And then Edwards and D'Lo, sneaky good D'Lo minutes last night, brought the Timberwolves almost all the way back. They cut it to 4 at one point. Anthony Edwards, 2 points away from a 50-piece. He gets a gold medal in a loss. Jenna, there is your podium from last night in the NBA.
Good podium. Good looking podium. Antoine, we are going to see you a little bit later. Stick around for us. We got to get back to some football. Odell getting recruited by anyone and basically everyone. The latest being Green Bay wideout Devontae Adams, who made this Packers promise. Take a listen.
I know what his mindset is based off what he just came from. He'd be happy to deal with, you know, whatever at this point. I mean, he had one catch, like 6 yards in his last game. So I can guarantee you we can get him more than that over here. So as long as he's good with two catches, 12 yards, we should be straight.
Hey there, I'm Staff Sergeant Cook here in Camp Humphreys from Houston, Texas. Shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs. Woo, let's go.
And with that lovely message on this Veterans Day, let us talk a little Chiefs. KC traveling to Las Vegas on Sunday night to take on the 5-3 Raiders. Hey, both teams looking up at the Chargers in a jam-packed AFC West where every game will now matter for the playoff push. So what better time to break out my favorite segment of the week? It's time for Coach Mangini's game plan, the old CMGP, the Coach Mangini's game plan. I'm just going to leave it like that. Hey, how can the Raiders upset the Chiefs and in the process also upset Nick Wright? Coach, talk us through talk us through it.
I don't know how I'm going to follow that introduction, Jenna. That was fantastic.
I wanted to put you in a good mood.
I think the idea that Kansas City's offense is done or can't come out of this is way overrated. And Las Vegas is going to have to do a lot of things offensively to match their production. And the first thing is that they're going to have to handle KC's extensive blitz package. Kansas City blitzes about 33% of the time, which puts them third in the league. It's creative. It's different each week. And even though the sack totals are horrible, they're last in the league in sacks, their hurries are actually third in the league. So they're affecting the quarterback. They're not sacking the quarterback, but they are affecting him. And over the last three games in total yards, they're actually 11th, which is down from their 26th overall. So they've made progress defensively. And this blitz package is difficult to deal with on a weekly basis. The second thing they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get some production or better production from the outside receivers. Right now, Bryan Edwards and Zay Jones have combined for a total of 25 receptions. And obviously, losing Henry Ruggs is a huge issue. And I know they're bringing DeSean Jackson. We're going to have to see what he's able to do. But those outside players are going to have to give him more. Otherwise, teams are just going to sit on Hunter Renfrow. They're going to sit on Darren Waller. And they're going to take away the interior part of the offense. And New England suffered through that for quite a bit of time. But that's got to improve. They've got to have an answer there. And then the last thing is they're going to have to continue to generate explosive plays. They actually lead the league in pass plays of 20-plus. They're third in the league in pass plays of 40-plus. And KC's been 28th in the league in dealing with those plays of 20-plus or giving those up. And they're last in the league in giving up plays of 40-plus. So I'll show you a play here that kind of combines all three elements of what Vegas is going to have to do. Baltimore is a great comparison. They blitz a lot. They're creative. Here they've got seven guys up at the line of scrimmage, a lot of different options. They know they've got to deal with Renfro. They know that they've got to deal with Waller on third and four. So what they do is they overload the right-hand side. Vegas doesn't have enough blockers. And they drop these two linebackers on the left-hand side to deal with Renfro. They've got the double team on Renfro with the linebacker and the DB. And now they've got the double team with the linebacker and the safety coming out on Waller. They also have what they want from the blitz perspective. They've got a free runner who's going to pressure Carr. And you can see Carr's loaded up here. Edwards is locked man-to-man in tight man-to-man coverage. He's not have a step, but you can see what a great play he makes coming back to the ball, being able to stay in bounds, and then continue on. He's got the potential to do this. We've just got to be able to see it a lot more often, and they're going to have to continue to be able to do this to make sure that everybody just doesn't sit on Renfro and Waller. So if they can do those three things, they're going to give Kansas City a lot of problems and Nick a little bit of heartache.
All right, so I'll talk about what could cause my heartache in a second, but very quickly, Coach, I'm just curious. As a defensive coordinator or a head coach that, you know, was defensive-minded, that play right there, if you're on the Ravens side of things, just you can't get over it, right? You got exactly what you wanted. Everyone was covered. And if Carr throws a slightly better ball, it's incomplete, right? Like, those are the things that make football unfair. We got the pressure we wanted. We covered everyone. But because the pass was slightly underthrown, we lose in overtime, right? You just can't do it.
You're sick about it because it's a really designed pressure. It's tight coverage. You've taken away their two biggest threats. And now a guy that has produced big plays, not at a high level, is a guy that ends up in tight, we're talking about tight man-to-man coverage,
is able to
come back for the ball. And he stays in bounds. He does a great job. He's about 3 inches from the sideline. Does a great job staying in bounds. But
it's unbelievable.
It breaks your heart.
All right, I want to talk about the other side of the ball, though, because Wilds, I have to make another admission.
Oh, boy.
I'm nervous about this.
Oh, good.
The Raiders last year were the only team to beat Patrick Mahomes in the regular season. The game the Chiefs came back to play them again, it took a final play of the game touchdown to Travis Kelce to beat the Raiders. The Raiders could have beaten the Chiefs twice last year. Why do the Raiders match up well against Kansas City? They do better than anyone in the league the single thing that gives Kansas City the most problems, which is they create pressure on the quarterback without blitzing. So I've really tried to up my game for these coaches segments. So I'm out here building charts. I got an X-axis, a Y-axis. Oh, nice. Now I want to show you something. This is all hand done by me. I absolutely did not just steal this from Warren Sharp at Sharp Football. I did not steal this from his Twitter account. He might have stolen it from mine. I definitely made this myself. So what you're seeing here is this. The X-axis left to right is how often a team blitzes on first and second down. So the team that does it the most is Tampa. You see them on the far right. The team that does it the least is the Raiders. Okay, so that's the bottom axis. The Y axis, how often you get pressure on early downs. So the team that does it the least, amazingly, is the Bears. The team that does it the most is the Raiders. So without blitzing, they get the most pressure on first or second down. Coach, that scares me. I'm not going to lie. That is the exact recipe to causing trouble for, you could argue, any offense, but particularly Kansas City's. They have more sacks than any team in the league without blitzing other than Chicago. They have been successful at this. How do you deal with that if the team can get pressure with only bringing four guys? Because I don't know the answer.
Yeah, that's the ideal situation when you don't have to pressure and you can get it with four guys. It doesn't get any better than that. And then from an offensive standpoint, the ways that you can deal with it is you incorporate cadence variation, and that's harder on the road, obviously. Screens, you run the ball and then use play action off of the run. That slows those guys down. And then you try to use some variety of misdirection or things like that that can hopefully again slow down that pass rush. The last thing you want to do is just line up in stagnant formations, have consistency of cadence, not really incorporate any screens and make them pay for the aggressive approach that they have. Don't incorporate any quick passes. Those things will get you killed. Look, the Kansas City offensive line, that was supposed to be a strength because it had been revamped, and that's been a big issue throughout the course of the season, and it does take time for those groups to gel and to really understand how each guy fits together. But they've got to show some more growth, and this is going to be a tremendous challenge if Kansas City is going to get back to where they were offensively.
So Coach, I want to talk to you about Mahomes' emotional state. They won last week, and poor Nick Wright was out here. Rather than being able to talk about a great game or a great season or perhaps a dynasty, poor Nick Wright came onto this show and said, "Did you see the one good play Mahomes made?" And I was like, "Oh God, is that where we're at? One good play? So it was one of Mahomes, if not the worst Mahomes performance outside of he didn't turn the ball over, but yardage wise in his career. If you're the defensive coordinator for the Raiders, do you think that Mahomes is going to want to sort of, flex his muscles a little bit, shake it off, like take some more chances because he had such a pedestrian game last week?
Well, with Mahomes, and we've talked about this a lot, when every single game you want him to be Superman, when every single game you assume that you can get down by a couple scores and somehow win it in the fourth quarter by him being incredible, which he's been incredible a bunch, it's hard and it's a lot of pressure. And when you do go through those rough patches as a player, instead of taking a step back and saying, okay, I need to go to fundamentals, I need to just do the things that I'm good at, sometimes you go the other way and you press and you press and you press, and that just makes it worse and things compound. For him, if they can take some of that pressure off, and look, I've talked about the running game a thousand times, that helps take pressure off quarterbacks, and you can show them that you can win in a way that isn't totally 100% relying on him being superhuman, that helps. Now, just this morning, Mahomes was talking about the need to take shots and how they were going to still take shots. So I don't know if he's in that space yet, but it's hard. I've talked about it a thousand times. Dealing with success is often just as challenging as dealing with failure.
They won the Super Bowl, and next year he almost won MVP, and they went 14-1. I think he deals with success just fine. He's going to take shots, and that final pass of the game, while it's turning the season around, say, mark it down. Mark it down. No. We're out of time. We got to go. Jenna, go. Go. We're in the animation.
Success.
Go.
Sustained success.
Coach, that was great, as always. Love it. All right, we continue talking some Patriots now. Their quarterback, Mac Jones, still getting some pushback for his tackle last week. Will he feel the wrath of Myles Garrett this week? That's next. First things first. Coach, stick around. Place Odell might potentially go, those Packers. Let's have some stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. OBJ still a man without a team. The latest reports say the Chiefs are the perceived favorites to land OBJ at this time, while the Patriots also making a strong push, with Belichick reportedly wanting Beckham on the roster, quote, badly. LeVar Arrington joining the discussion, so we'll start with him. LeVar, what is the better landing spot for Odell, the Chiefs or the Patriots?
I don't think either one is a bad landing spot. I just think that Odell Beckham has to accept the fact that he's not a number one receiver. I think if he can accept that and buy into that, I think the situation could be great for him in both places. The reason being is Odell Beckham is an amazing route runner. Odell Beckham is productive in the center of the field. when you look at what the Chiefs and the Patriots both do very well, they're able to utilize and unlock the open areas of the center of the field. I told you guys that going into the Super Bowl last year, if you recall, that Kansas City does an amazing job of finding those holes in the defense in the center of the field. The same thing goes for this New England Patriots team as well with Josh McDaniels at OC. So I don't think that either one is a wrong landing place for Odell Beckham. The caveat is he has to understand if he goes to Kansas City, he is not the number one receiver. If he goes to New England, correct, he's the number one receiver. But is that what you really want Odell Beckham to be for your team? I would say under the circumstances, no. But by default, he would be in New England. So it could be either one. It just is tomato or tomato. But, you know, center of the field, slot, I think that would be a good landing place, both places.
So, Nicholas, I know that everybody wants to diss the Patriots. Oh, it's too cold up there, and Belichick doesn't have any fun, even though he's on the record saying, you know, the fun comes from winning games. But here's what I think about the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are like the New Year's Eve of football teams. Sure seems like a lot of fun, but then when you remember back, like, is it fun? You're like, never most fun. Of the time you're like, nah, nope. Not, it's not fun.
No, New Year's Eve fun. Is pretty fun. I love New Year's
it's
Eve,
not.
Personally.
Well, then you might. Then you know what? Then you are the Travis Kelce of New Year's Eve, because I think it's fun for a handful of people, but not for everybody. Josh Gordon went to Kansas City. Oh, thought that was going to be great. What happened? He's been there for a while. He's got one catch. Oh, is he not playing? Mm-hmm. He was in for 32 snaps against the Giants, zero catches. How about Le'Veon Bell? Remember when Le'Veon Bell signed with the Chiefs? Oh, Nick was celebrating on the show. And everyone's like, oh, the rich get richer. Le'Veon Bell had a Photoshop Chiefs jersey ready. Kansas City, Chiefs Kingdom, thank you for the opportunity. Let's go, everyone. Oh, this is almost unfair. What happened? 9 games, 350 total yards. Fast forward, Le'Veon Bell on Chiefs stint. I'll never play for Andy Reid again. I'd retire first. So look, everybody thinks Kansas City's going to be fun, but Josh Gordon is not being productive. Le'Veon Bell said he'd rather retire. So there's no guarantee that if OBJ goes there, he's going to have any fun at all, just like New Year's Eve, Nick.
Yeah, listen, Wilds, I think stinks. Your approach here is smart, which is rather than building a case to go to New England, where Odell can block and not get passes thrown to him. You just went negative on the Chiefs. So let me just respond to that, because Josh Gordon, the wildly productive Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon in his previous stop to Kansas City, which was 2 full years ago, was Seattle. Yeah. Played 5 games with them. Now, he didn't have one catch. He had 7. 7 catches. But I'm sure that's Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll's fault. Le'Veon Bell. If only we had, you know, a case study to find out, is Le'Veon Bell still good? You said he had, what, less than 300 yards with the Chiefs? Gross. What's he done this year? Oh, let me check. Let me look. Oh, it's 28 carries for 82 yards with the Ravens. Are the Ravens fun? What's 28 carries for 82 yards? That's 2.9 a carry. Oh, Nick, it's unfair. Le'Veon also great receiver, one of the best receiving backs of all time. That's true. Let me check his receiving yards on the year. Oh, wait. It's actually worse than someone who's retired. He has -1 receiving yards. So maybe the problem isn't Kansas City. Maybe it's just Le'Veon Bell, not a good football player anymore. But I get it. When your argument to come to New England is, we've got good chowder and we used to employ the GOAT quarterback, it's tough. So I understand. It's fine.
Great
it's
chowder, fine. Though.
I think Odell's going to go to Kansas City, Jenna, and I think he's going to love it there.
Lamar, thanks so much for hanging out. Skip and Shannon coming up next. Here comes Undisputed.